Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we're going to be ranking the top 5 sandwiches.
That's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. Facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, rankers. Welcome back. And to any new rankers, welcome to the show.
Hello.
For all our beautiful new rankers, Squirrel, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it?
Well, new rankers, this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. Each week, Hurst and I will spin the Wheel of Decision, which is full of random topics suggested by our Patreons. And then we will rank the top 5 in that subject. Then you, the excellent ranker, go to www.top5faceoff.co.uk and vote to say which one of us is correct. One of us is always correct. But which will be the official top 5 list?
You decide.
You, like Robo Katy Perry said, decide.
But, of course, we are frightfully British.
Yeah.
So we can't just get straight on with business.
Yeah, no.
How's the weather been?
Raining.
Yeah, same.
Here you are, Hurst. Here's a comment we got on Spotify about flathead screws.
Ooh.
Remember we asked Engineering Malx why flathead screws are still popular, even though they are definitely the worst of the fastening world. Top 5 fasteners, let us know, rankers. Flathead screws are cheaper to produce. That's the boring answer from my Engineering Malcolm husband, says Katie. Thank you very much, Katie.
Well, that just makes me hate the people that send flathead screws even more. It's like you're cutting corners on my life for your bottom line.
They've saved what? Barely anything. I guess if you're producing 60 billion units, something like IKEA, then it's, you know, understandable. But even IKEA don't use flathead screws. They use Phillips or Allen's.
That's because they do care at least a little bit about their user. Anyone who's sending out flathead screws clearly is basically saying, thanks for buying my stuff, and at the same time, fuck you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Katie.
100%. Besides flathead screws, Hurst, what's gripping your shit?
Oh, I tell you what has been rankling my cankles this week is...
Okay.
The train companies, when you're standing on the platform and they say, first class accommodation can be found in the front 2 carriages. Like, oh it can it? There are people living on that train, are there? It's not accommodation.
Oh, the word accommodation.
It's fucking seating. And, okay, on the LNER one that we got is first class. I've not sat on it, but Carly assures me you get meals and all sorts there. So, fine. But it's not accommodation. It's not a place where people live. It's a seat on a train. Shut up. What's been gripping your shit?
Nothing has been massaging my fundifies this week, to be honest, Hurst. It's been a pretty chill one. But I will regale you with something that happened. Now, I have to preface this with it didn't actually happen this week. So maybe some people that know me in the real life have heard this before. So sorry if you have. But I was in Tesco. I needed some shopping, right? And you know Tesco have that thing where you scan your club card and you get the bipper and you can go around and bip your things yourself and then just steal one or two? Yeah.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, sure. So I'm there. I've got my trolley. There is a fuller-figured lady standing at the little machine where you bip your club card, right? She's very big, this lady. Anyway, I accidentally crash into her generous buttock with the edge of my trolley. And like my brain goes into overdrive because all I could think of was back in school when we weren't woke and we weren't very nice people. We used to call people like that wide load, like the sticker you would see on the back of a very wide vat truck, right? Like a lorry. So my brain's just going, don't call a wide load. Don't call a wide load. Don't. That's all it's got. It's got nothing else. It hasn't considered anything. So I panic and say, sorry, big fella.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ.
What?
She's clearly not a dude.
Sorry, I was trying to avoid calling her white lady, called her big fella.
Big fella. I just and left. There was nothing else. I just left.
I thought you were going to say he made a sound effect of it. I went, bow, wow, wow, wow.
That would be bad.
And then I was very British and just fucked off. So if you were a lady in Bedford Tesco and some idiot clunked you with his trolley and then called you a large man, that was me, and I'm sorry.
And basically described you also in the same sentence as a wide load.
Well, they know that now.
But if that was a rancor, it isn't anymore. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Bye.
Sorry.
Oh, good one. Good.
Anything been making you feel old?
No, I don't think so.
Same. I mean, just no. But for me, I mean, things I've done this week have included making a pond in the garden and then buying flowers to surround it. I've got 3 goldfish now. They're all called Bob because they all look the same.
Cool.
Carly named them. I'm going to get some gold ones as well because these ones are I bought the ones that are sort of silver with the orange and black splodges over
colours in them.
Because A, they're cool, and B, I thought they'd be harder for things like herons to see in the pond. They don't have quite the same contrast as a goldfish would. Problem is, I can't see them either. They hide. You have to stand perfectly still for about 5 minutes around feeding time to maybe see one of Bob. So
right.
That's been a bit of a bit of a backfire, but I'm sure in time they'll grow and become more confident.
Top 5 fish names, let us know, Patreons.
Oh yeah, name the fish.
Right. A lot of comments to read out this week, Hurst. Should we crack on with what went down for modes of transportation?
Okay.
I have fixed the commenting system, rankers, which might explain why there's so many comments. Your comments should no longer get lost. They will all come to us. Good news. Let's go. First one is from excellent ranker Jazzy, who says, squirrels modes were way cooler. I did like the elephant, though. Yeah, simple. Fair enough.
What about Meg? She's normally first, right?
She is fourth. Third.
Oh,
third.
Meg. Oh, hey, Meg. What happened?
Come on now. Now, Hurst, top 5 face-off first. Depending on how you answer a question this ranker has posed to you, I may actually have to change their vote from me to you.
Ooh.
So, Trooper says, okay, Hurst, here's the thing. Do you have a penny farthing? It's the best transport in the world, right? So surely you have one. There's one for sale on eBay right now for £100, so there is no excuse. If you do have one, transfer my vote to yourself. Also, I suspect the comment system, yes, we know the comment system was broken, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, Trooper. So, Hurst, do you have a penny farthing, the best form of transport in the world, according to you?
No, I don't have a gondola either.
No. Do you have a car?
I do have a car. Doesn't make it the best form of transport in the world.
Why don't you have a penny farthing? There's no excuse.
Do you have a quad bike?
Alas, no, I do not. But I've had one. Does that count?
I don't want your vote, Trooper. You can keep it, Squirrel. that's a nonsense way to decide things.
Wow.
Absolute nonsense.
Both of those two so far have voted for me, as you may have guessed. Here comes Meg. Yeah. Penny farthing! Exclamation point, says Meg.
Nice one, Meg.
My cousin has a penny farthing. Another exclamation point. He sometimes rides it around at fates and such, presumably while Squirrel is at the beer tent with his steam engine. He looks like an utter tosser and we all avoid him. Dear God, Hurst. Thanks, Meg.
Shut up, Meg.
Last time I saw someone on the roads of London riding a penny farthing, I hoped for a low bridge. Sorry, Hurst, from Piers. Thanks, Piers. Piers suggested this week's topic as well. Thanks for that as well, Piers, for the sandwiches we get. As you may have guessed, Hurst, these are in order. These are all from me.
They're not in order. They're out of order. All of them. They're bang out of order.
Gotta be Squirrel. Wasn't so sure about the super yacht, but it turns out I can excuse capitalist exploitation, but I draw the line at animal cruelty. Poor elephants. Tut tut, Hurst. The smell of a traction engine reminds me of childhood summers spent at Cromford Steam Engine Rally. So there's another point in your favour. Great episode. Thanks, guys. Love from Glitterbug. No, we've heard from Glitterbug before. Hello, Glitterbug, and thank you for your comment. Even though Hurst hates you now.
Hi, Glitterbug.
Here we have an anonymous one. Anyone that thinks cars are boring needs to stop driving boring cars. Love you, bye. Well, love you too, Anonymous. And here we are on the votes for you, Hurst. So we're switching lanes. This one is from Kovach. Winner of the excellent drawing of Simba, the Lion King. Your choices made me laugh out loud. Full stop. Sorry. Your choices made me laugh out loud. Full stop. When running yesterday. Full stop. Who does not want a cruelty-free elephant as a transport? Full stop. Thanks, Cov. Brackets. Minus 30 IQ points as I am typing. Close brackets. Not wrong. Not wrong, Cov.
No, well played, guys. Good work.
This week was peak Hurst. He'd won our vote even before Squirrel lost it by choosing car. Yawn. Matt and Laura.
Friends of the show, Matt and Laura. Good stuff.
Here's a comment from Kern. Possibly the first time we've heard from Kern as well. Hi, Kern. Thanks. Great selections this week. Would make for a great Micro Machines tourney. Okay.
Fine. Oh, not like the owl, like a tournament.
Tournament, yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Micro Machines tourney would be cool. Like, it'd be a little owl, even smaller than like the tiny owl.
It'd be really so small. Can you imagine compared to a Micro Machine car? It would be like half the size of a wheel.
Wow. Yeah. So, sorry, what happened there?
He voted for you, Hurst.
Oh, cool. Well done. Well.
Dav Paz here once again. Hurst is the man today, throwing in from left field. I could tell right from the start I was going to like this oddball list. Exactly what I had in mind. Gwan Hurst.
Nice.
And lastly, good morning. I agree massively with Hurst's view on motorbikes. They're just wonderful things to have about. Absolutely impractical for the most part. Terrible in the rain and cold, but when it's right, it's perfectly right. 100% on the money. Beautifully articulated. Quad bikes, however, are shockingly poor choice on Squirrel's behalf. I feel he has let himself down. All of the disadvantages of a motorbike with none of the advantages. Nothing like a motorbike. The steering is all wrong, there's terrible thumb throttle, and the drive is terrible. The nadir of transportation, the choice of the people that think jet skis are pretty natty. Which I do. Because of this quad bike nonsense, I will cancel my subscription immediately. Yours, Bill Preston. Thanks, Bill, but you seem to have mixed up who had motorbike on their list, because it wasn't Hurst, it was me.
Yes, that is
true. I did point this out to Bill, who sent us an email, and he did.
He did also have.
He did apologise.
I think it's because I agreed with you on the motorbike that it is just an excellent form of transport, not about the destination, about the journey. So that must have thrown a spanner in the works.
Yes.
So there's some people with some really good good comments there, and some people who obviously didn't listen to the lists properly as well.
Right. Let me guess. The people that didn't really listen properly, did they?
Some of the first few. I can't remember who they were. Yeah. But the first few weren't. They weren't listening properly.
Not the guy that actually didn't listen to the list properly, as we just discussed. Anyway, Hurst.
Yes.
Are you ready for some numbers?
I'm ready for some numbers. I'm on two in a row. Would this be a three-peat or is this?
Yes, this would be a three-peat. Yes.
Because AI voted for me last week, didn't it? Oh,
it did.
Are you going to knock me off my perch?
Hurst, you got 15 votes.
Oh, shit.
I got 20 votes, Hurst.
Oh, fair play. Anyway, well, congratulations. Why don't you refresh us all on what the top five modes of transport are?
I will. At number five, it was a motorbike. At number four, a traction engine. At number three, a capitalist pig dog super yacht. At number two, a quad bike. And at number one, of course it was, the mighty car. It's official.
Okay, dokie. Well, I suppose then we press on with the next list.
Indeed, Hurst. Let's get ranking. Hurst, it's time to rank our lists. How do we know who's going to rank first?
Well, we will typically flip the coin of destiny.
Here is the coin of destiny. Heads for Hurst. Squirrels have tails. You ready?
Flip it.
Heads for Hurst.
Again, that's a four-pedo, isn't it?
I haven't been counting such insignificant things.
I have, because I haven't had much else to count recently. Had a couple of wins, though, so I'm back in the game. Okay, yeah, so today's topic is sandwiches. Now, I decided before making my list to go and Google up what a sandwich is. So strap in, Rangers.
Uh-oh.
A sandwich typically consists of two or more slices of bread with fillings like meat, cheese, vegetables, or spread placed between them. It can also be an open-faced sandwich with a single slice of bread topped with ingredients.
Yep, fair.
Key characteristic is the bread used as a container or base for the other food. So obviously I looked into things like Subway, to burgers, to all sorts of other things, to pizzas, to calzones. Now, calzones and pizzas, one said, well, maybe a calzone, but typically it's the fact that the bread should be cooked before the assembly of the ingredients, whereas in pizzas, you cook the dough with the ingredients, so it would not constitute
that's
a sandwich.
True.
So that's been the basis of my list. So with that in mind, at number five, I have the giant bread and meaty, heaty hyper chunk.
What the shit?
What the fuck? So this, I've tried to look at the list in a way that is largely more palatable for everyone to enjoy to understand. But there is a particular sandwich that I like to make, which is a Hearst own invention. I put it in at number five because I thought, you know, it'd be arrogant to put it in at number one. And I call it the giant bread and meaty, heaty hyperchunk. So what it is, it requires a freshly baked Bloomer style loaf. So something like a tiger or a sesame seed or a poppy seed is preferable. The crust's got to be pliable but crunchy. So what you do is you slice off the end, pull all the bread out, leaving a hollowed out crust, and then you reward yourself with a soft, warm bread as a starter.
Like a whole loaf of bread are we at this point?
So you take the loaf of bread, you slice off one end of it, so you've got this kind of rounded...
And then just dig a hole in the
entire
loaf.
Then you hollow it out, and then because that bread's going to be warm and tasty and soft, you just quickly chomp on that as your kind of your starter. Then you fill the hollowed crust with things like pepperoni and edam. I use edam for malleability and supporting flavor and texture, as opposed to something like a blue cheese that would be the majority of the flavor. I like to use pepperoni, but also things like peppered salami would go in there. Or if you don't like those, any kind of meat. And then things like jalapenos, a bit of Frank's hot sauce, and maybe some toca salad, something like half a tomato or whatever. And then you just cut a thin slice of bread to work as like a hat for the, so you connect it up so it's all enclosed. Because at the moment, if you imagine you've got this hollowed out.
You'd have to cut that bit off before you start, right? Because otherwise you it's hollow, right? I got you. Carry on.
Yeah. So you've hollowed out one bit and then you just cut another slice that kind of just closes the sandwich off so that it's not visible anymore. So it just looks
right.
Like it could be a massive end doorstep. And, simple enough, eat the absolute shit out of it. And it is fucking delicious. But it does require a very special kind of bread. It has to be fresh. It has to still be warm. You need all the right bits. So it's not generally an easy one to acquire.
Mm.
But it is mega. The giant bread and meaty, heaty hyperchunk. Number five.
Can't say I've tried one. No.
Doesn't mean you won't.
Can't say it disappoints me, Hearst. That doesn't sound too bad. All right. My number five is considerably simpler, I must say. At number five for me, what you've got to do is you get two slices of bread. I don't give a shit what it is. You bang a load of butter on. You pour in some chips from the chip shop. Yeah. Put salt and vinegar on those bad boys if it's not there already. Slam on some sauce of your choice. If you're going mad, maybe a slice of cheese. Not necessarily. Eat. Chip sandwich.
Nah, fair enough. For the ranker's benefit, I can't eat butter. It's not that I'm allergic.
I forgot about this. Yeah, yes, I apologize.
It's not that I'm allergic because I can have it when it's used in things like cake or whatever. But with it kind of spread onto something, the second I taste it, the gagging begins and bad things occur.
You could have yours without butter, Hearst. That's fine.
I'm not going to judge it, guys. Just please don't judge me for not having butter. Wasn't going to talk about it, but I did just get a minor...
Absolutely judge him for it.
Don't judge me. Shh. Sharp squirrel.
Judge him.
Shut
the
up.
The whole point of the shoe is judgment. None of his sandwiches have butter in, Rankers.
It's true, none of them have butter. Yeah, no, fair enough. If you were to take away the butter, I can imagine that being excellent used.
Chip sandwich. Carbohydrate only.
Yeah, that is a carb sandwich, if ever there
carb
was
smash.
One. Put some pasta in there as well.
Get fucked, textures.
Fair enough. Okay, my number four is the Subway Meatball Marinara. Foot long on Italian herbs and cheese, jalapenos, red onion, cheese, salt and pepper. Boom. Yes, Subway does serve sandwiches as per my previous thing. Specifically, they specialize in submarine sandwiches, commonly known as subs.
Oh, hence the name.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few sandwiches I like from there, but I think we can all agree that that is the iconic Subway sandwich, the meatball marinara. Just excellent. Got its own moist maker. Even butter lovers probably wouldn't want butter in that because it's already covered with sauce and juice, isn't it? It's just a great sandwich. Yay to the Subway meatball marinara.
Have you ever had a good meatball sub?
Yeah.
Like, and then gone, oh, fuck, Subway ones were bad.
Oh, right. No, then I've not had one of those.
Oh, God. Try making one. Like, do it properly. They're incredible.
Yeah.
Subway ones are...
But there's something about that someone else is doing it for you. You're out and about. Yes. You're on the go.
Absolutely true.
And as sandwiches you can buy on the go. I mean, they are wildly pricey now, but they are still excellent. So what's your number four, mate?
Well, my number four, Hearst, you can get it when you're out and about if you maybe go to the deli or something like that and ask for it, or you can just make it yourself at home. For it is the very simple cheese and onion sandwich. I bloody love a cheese and onion sandwich, especially when you get really nice onion and really nice cheese. That's it. It's simple as that. Crack them together, cram it in your face. It's very nice. Now, if you're feeling a bit poncy, is that an okay word to use?
Probably not, but we're going to fly with it for now.
Let us know, Malks, if I've accidentally offended people. I didn't mean to. If you want to be a bit poncy, Hurst, what you could do is grate some cheese, dice up your onion, put it together, slam some mayo, some salt and some pepper in there, mix it all up and bang it back in your sandwiches. For some bizarre reason, my wife, who you've heard at the beginning and the end of every episode so far, Rankers, calls these Millie Molly Mandy sandwiches.
Of course.
I don't know why.
Because of, I think it'll be because,
is there an estimated fat coming? It's taking a while. Don't worry, no one will hear this, as it'll sound like you came with it straight off the dome.
no, that was my bit. That I don't know why.
Oh, right. You're doing a bit, I apologise.
It's always a good bit when you have to explain it. It's like a good joke.
Yes. I believe it's something to do with a book. Let us know, Malks, / my wife. She also makes Millie Molly Mandy potatoes, which are the exact same thing, but with jacket potatoes. And not bread. But anyway, cheese and onion sandwiches, numero 4.
So, Millie Molly sandwich.
Millie Molly Mandy sandwich.
Millie Molly Mandy sandwich at number 4. Fair enough. Anyway, moving rapidly on from this thin ice. At number 3, fish finger toasted sandwich. I literally just had one of those as the episode started. Carly,
I can confirm this, Rankers. I saw this.
Now, you can have these just as regular sandwiches, but I like them what I call semi-toasted. So you can't necessarily see that it's toasted, but when you feel it, it's got that slightly bobbled, harder surface. Imagine creme brulee. You're just browning the very edge of the surface, probably even less brown than creme brulee. Have with tartar sauce, salt and pepper for optimal flavouring. But if you don't have tartar sauce, a bit of vinegar just to give it a sour edge. I'd say ideal bread for this would be maybe Mighty White, thick cut, lightly toasted, and obviously cut diagonally as all square sandwiches should be. Simple one, and you don't have to have anything else with it. Just bam in the fish fingers and you're laughing. You don't need all of the trimmings, just a bit of sauce, slice it, eat it, feel good.
No hate from me. I like a fish finger sandwich. There was a place near where I used to work that saw them. They put rocket in theirs as well. Woo, fancy.
That is fancy. Oh, maybe we should use that instead of poncy.
Ah, fancy. Yes.
Do you want to be a bit
fancy? Well, only if poncy is a bad word.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the Malks are going to let us know.
Yeah, keep us posted, Malk.
All right, Hurst. My number 3 has two names, depending on whether or not you're in the USA or the UK. And we do have now, like, a 3 listeners in the USA, so for their benefit, number 3 from me is a grilled cheese, but everyone in the UK knows that it is a cheese toasty / toasted sandwich. Many names, this one. Now, some people like to put stuff in them, Hurst. Obviously cheese, that's a given, right? Hence the name. Some people put a bit of tomato in them, which I've heard just is so hot it hurts you no matter how long you leave it. Not a massive fan of tomatoes, so I like them very simple, Hurst. I just want cheese in my cheese toastie, especially a little bit too much cheese, so some of it comes out and goes all brown and nice on the cheese toastie maker, right?
Cheese crackling.
Right, exactly that. And pro hint for you Rankers at home, if you're making a cheese toastie, stick a Dairyly slice in there because it helps the rest of the cheese to melt and really improves the texture. Thank your friend Squirrel for that when you have a cheese toastie again. Give it a try. Oh, and that very simple, Hurst. Bit of pepper when it goes in the machine on the inside. Some finishing salt on the top before you cut it, obviously, into triangles.
Finishing salt.
Yes.
The whole concept is outstanding. Finishing salt. The top tip on that slice of Dairyly. That's
Dairyly slice. Any processed cheese slice will do, to be fair.
That is inspired.
And they're bloody delicious.
I can't argue with the fact that there's something beautiful about the simplicity of a grilled cheese or toasted cheese. Or from the old George Foreman. That's always good as well.
Yes, our cheese sandwich maker is George Foreman style, even though it's literally only for sandwiches. You wouldn't want to do a steak in there, although I guess you could.
Fair play.
Mm.
My number 2 is the good old-fashioned cheeseburger. Yes. A cheeseburger is considered a type of sandwich for all the reasons we've discussed. Some might argue they're a distinct brand of their own or a distinct product of their own, but most common definition is filling between two pieces of bread or a split roll. So that does align with the structure of the cheeseburger. In fact, I'm justifying myself. Makes me sound like I'm not confident. Cheeseburger is superb. I know you can go further. You can have like a bacon cheeseburger, but almost every way you buy one of those, the bacon isn't good. And you just think, oh, I should have just got a cheeseburger. It's also when you go to McDonald's, it's on the bargain menu. So I don't know if you can still do it, but like £1.29 hangover cheeseburger when you're a little bit skint, that's banging. Or end of night cheeseburger if you're stumbling home and you've got the peckish on. It's just an inspired. It's beef in bread with melted cheese on it. And just excellent. I do like pickles with my burgers, but to be honest, a cheeseburger doesn't even need it. It's there in its own right.
Fine by me, mate.
Cool.
I've got to say, I couldn't bring myself to put cheeseburgers on my sandwich list. They're two on their own. So even though I do enjoy a cheeseburger, you're not going to hear about one from me. I couldn't. And I fully agree with you that they're a sandwich. I just couldn't bring myself to rank them on a list of sandwiches. Go figure. I'm a fucking enigma. What would you have on a cheeseburger, Hurst? What about the sauce? Sauce-free or...?
I'm happy to go sauce-free, but I would typically have either a ketchup because they're more readily available or a burger sauce.
No mustard up in that bad boy?
No, that's more of a hot dog thing for me.
Okay. All right. My number two rankers, you may have noticed a theme among all my sandwiches. Incredibly simple. Most of them have two ingredients in at the most, unless we're counting the Mealy Molly Mandy sandwich. Which has three. And we're not counting salt and pepper.
Has a Millie, a Molly, and a Mandy in it.
And a Mandy. Maybe that's what... I don't know. Number two is not that. Once upon a time, Hurst, two of my friends came round to my house for 3 days and we spent them making this sandwich.
Wow. This is the Yes Chefs.
Yes, we got the Yes Chefs involved and we made a cubano. They are a Mexican sandwich. If you've seen the movie Chef, those are the sandwiches he makes in his truck. It is pork, which is marinated in mojo sauce. It's spelt mojo, but pronounced mojo, which is like citrus juice, garlic, spices, oranges, blah, 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 and some herbs. Quite a while. Then you smoke that for quite a while. You fry up some ham. I know you've just done some pork, but we're frying some ham. You put some Swiss cheese on there. You get some dill pickles, the long ones. They go on. Yellow mustard goes on. You get Cuban bread, which one of the Yes Chefs had to make because you just can't get it in this country, which is soft and kind of slightly sweet, but it's really crispy on the outside. And that's important because you then have butter, Hurst, but bear with me. You put that on the outside of the bread, stick it in your George Foreman or your puncher, hold it down there a bit to toast it. And then after 3 days, you eat your sandwich. And holy God, is it worth it? It is exceptional.
3 days.
Well, you're talking a day for marinade, and you're talking a day to smoke the pork.
All right, so you don't do it and then leave it for 3 days and then eat it?
No, you don't just let it sit.
I was going to say, how much willpower would you have to have after all of that to just say, like, leave that 3 days, and then we're coming back and it'll be just the right amount delicious. Oh, they sound amazing.
They are stunning, like properly, properly good. And this is just I've never had one that isn't made by me. And for all I know, I'm doing it completely wrong. American and Mexican mouths are probably just screaming at me right now because I forgot a key ingredient or why do you put mustard in it? I don't know. That was on the recipe we followed, which was by Babish, fact fans. But yeah, number two, cubano.
Frankly, if you'd said that was your number one sandwich, I'd probably have gone, yeah, you know what? It probably is the number one sandwich, but you'll have to make one just so I can be sure.
It very nearly was my number one sandwich. Yeah. It flipped and flopped throughout the week. 5-2, Hurst. There's our excellent list so far, but now we have to tackle the worst. What's the worst, Hurst? I wish my name rhymed with things.
This one wasn't actually that difficult for me. There are many things you could put in a sandwich that would be awful. Getting bad news, the old shit sandwich as a metaphor, that would be
clever.
A good worst, but I decided to go for literal. Corned beef on thin cut, 3-day-old brown sliced bread slathered with whatever the worst butter is. There you go. I'd rather eat a buffet of shit than try and squash that down.
I mean, 3-day-old brown bread on anything would be enough of an off-putting thing for me.
Yeah.
Now, quickly, for the American rankers that I mentioned earlier, we should point out that our corned beef is different to your corned beef, which is fucking banging and is basically brisket deliciousness. Ours comes from a can and it's wank.
Yeah, if you've had Spam, it's like bitty Spam, but worse somehow. I mean, it's all bad stuff. But no, I never liked it. And I like granary bread. Like, generally, I would choose, if it was a supermarket, all things being equal, freshly baked, I'd choose a non-sliced granary, because with a nice crunchy crust, I just love the flavor of it. So I'm not anti wholemeal stuff, but brown, just boring brown bread is crap. Mm. Thin cup, why are we having thin cut anything? And then stale as well. It just all needs to contribute to the awfulness of this sandwich.
No, I buy it. Well, I went immediate literal Hurst. I didn't consider things like shit sandwich, which was good choice. So my worst sandwich for most of the week, I figured it was going to be cucumber sandwiches. What an utter waste of time. Cucumber sandwiches. Here's something that tastes of nothing but water. Thanks. But no, Hurst, because then I remembered egg mayo. Oh, God.
I like egg mayo.
Fucking minging. Well, I don't like eggs, so it's a really bad start for me.
Fair enough.
And just the fucking smell of the fucking stuff reeks, and it's just absolute nightmare fuel. No. Keep it the fuck away from me. Don't like egg mayo.
You know what? That's fair. It's actually one of the ones I go for in a meal deal at Sainsbury's. I can understand, because I have the exact same reaction to anything with butter in it. It just immediately makes me start going... So I get it. Eggs are a divisive thing, as is some of the stinkier fish. So, yeah,
fair enough. Yes. Just unnice.
But that doesn't matter. Our opinions are irrelevant to the official
just for fun.
Yes. And what fun they are.
Just for fun, rankers, and I hope you enjoyed it at home. But strap in, sit down, grab your correctly sliced sandwich, because it's time for the number one.
Number one for me as an all-round best sandwich, the BLT, the classic bacon, lettuce, tomato. Now, I did originally think just the bacon sandwich, because I have those quite a lot, just bacon in. But yes. I think for the wider community, for the world in general, and considering how important this list is as an official world ranking, the most prolifically sold sandwich with veg in that end is the BLT. So crispy bacon, everything bacon has to be crispy bacon on a granary thick cut. I guess sauce aficionados would probably flavor brown sauce with bacon. I like to mix it up a little bit. Often I will favor Frank's Red Hot sauce, to be honest. I like a bit of spice, and it works really nicely with bacon. But I think this is it. Bacon is the constant, not the sauce. So there's, for me, no flexibility in bacon. It has to be crispy.
I need to be able to pick it up by the corner, and it shouldn't bend at all.
Yeah, right? And if you try to bend it, it should just break. Otherwise, it's just flaccid pig flesh.
It becomes rope that gets yanked out as you bite into your sandwich. The whole bit of bacon just comes out.
Yeah, like, absolutely. What is this
wobbly shit?
And if you do unfortunately get it in your mouth, you have to stringy grubbiness. Yeah. So if you aren't crisping up your bacon, really take a look at yourself in the mirror.
Correct.
Make better decisions. So BLT, bacon, lettuce, tomato, an excellent combo. All has to be fresh. That's the thing. You need fresh bread, you need fresh tomato, fresh lettuce, and just stacks of crispy bacon. Don't scrimp. Get it in there. And I think that is the best sandwich in the world. Would you like a fact, an estimated fact about BLT?
I have a question, but I'll ask afterwards in case it relates to your fact and estimated fact.
Okay. Fact. Sam's Diner on 12th and 5th in New York is credited as being the first place to brand the BLT in 1947. They are still open, and it is a major part of their branding.
They are still open, and I've been there, and it's ace.
Fact, for a long time, the BLT was the second most popular sandwich in the US. In 2019, it moved to 6th place, with grilled cheese becoming the most popular.
Mm, what a fall from grace it had when it fell. From 2 to 6. I've been to Sam's. I had pastrami. But Katz is famous for pastrami. Not sure if Sam's is too. I'm going to say it's the second one. I'm going to go with it. Fell from grace from number 2 to number 6. Now, how can they possibly know this, Hurst, when we're doing the official ranking right now, by the way?
This was 2019 before we took over.
Ah.
So, yes, that is the actual fact. You got it right.
Woo! That's rare.
I love that you've been to Sam's Diner because I absolutely made it up.
Ah.
Happy days that you just happened to have gone there. I'm a bit disappointed that wasn't what made you go, yes, it was that, on 12 and 5th.
I don't know where it is. Is it on 12 and 5th?
Did you no, I mean, I made that up as
all
well.
All right. Sam's Diner was established in 1978, mate, just like we were.
Ah, gosh.
I just looked it up.
Brilliant. Where so is it?
If I'd have remembered that. It's in New York, but it's not on those streets that you mentioned, I don't think.
Excellent.
It's gone now. My question about BLT is sometimes when I see them, they are free-tiered. We have like a bit of bread. What is your opinion on that?
I have had both. To be honest, as long as it's good bread and the bacon is crispy, make it as many layers as you want. As long as you can fit it in your mouth, knock yourself out.
Fair. All right. Good call. If you like tomatoes, I'd imagine it's all right.
Yeah. To be honest, that would work quite well because you could have one layer that is just like the lettuce and tomato and then one layer that is actually
take that away.
Jam-packed with bacon and then you've got options.
Yes, options being to drop the bottom half of the sandwich and just if eat you the top half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. My number one Hurst. Now, you remember a minute ago when I was talking about how I couldn't possibly put cheeseburgers on my list for some weird reason in my head. About to get fucking weirder when you hear what my number one is, because it's basically the same but better. My number one is just down the road from New York, from Philadelphia, and it is the cheesesteak, Hurst. A Philly goddamn cheesesteak.
Another excellent choice, one I often go for in Subway.
But no. Philly cheesesteaks, steak and cheese. And that's literally what it is. It's beef and cheese. I like it with onions. You don't have to have it whipped, but you can. I have it with onions and cheese whiz because it's got to be filth. And cheese whiz is cheese from a can that brings the goddamn filth first. And it is, oh God, they're so bloody nice. They shouldn't work anywhere near as well as they do. They're incredibly simple things. They're easy to make. You just get some ribeye, you freeze it for a bit so it's easy to cut real thin, and then you just fry and fucking chuck some cheese on it, chuck some onions in that bad boy, and cram it in the sandwich, bang, and eat that bitch. Oh, goddamn. I'm so hungry right now, by the way. How hungry are you?
I just had a fish finger sandwich, which is the third greatest sandwich on my list.
I'm having burritos tonight. Shit, that should be on my list. I well love a burrito.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, that would count.
And a kebab. Oh, God, there's so many things. It's not right. There's something. But anyway, Philly cheesesteaks, just delicious. Didn't go to Philadelphia when I was in New York, which because I didn't actually realize how close by it was. I, assuming America, everything's a billion years away from every other bit. But no, Philly's like well drivable from New York, so should have gone and got a proper cheesesteak. But I had one in New York anyway. Bloody nice. Jesus Christ. Just so good and filth. Okay. Don't eat one every day. You will drop dead in a month.
What sort of bread's it on?
A Philly cheesesteak comes on a hoagie roll, which is crusty and soft. So those are the two important things. It has to be crusty because they slam so much stuff in it. You have to be able to squeeze it real tight without it collapsing. But it has to be soft for the same reason. Sometimes some places, much like your first sandwich has, will dig a bit of the bread out so they can get more of the beef in. Fucking approve.
Hang on. I'm just looking at what a hoagie roll
They're long and soft.
Yeah. Okay, sort of.
A bit crunchy.
Micro sub, but with crunch, yeah.
They're pretty big, to be honest. And I guess you could make them as big as you like, right? It doesn't matter. It's up to you. But, Hurst, would you like a fact in an estimated fact about the Philly cheesesteak?
Definitely.
Fact. A Philly sandwich is a cheesesteak rolled up in a slice of pizza. Or fact. Philly taco is a cheesesteak rolled up in a slice of pizza.
That's almost the same fact. I feel like you phoned this one in a little bit.
It is. I haven't phoned it in. You've got to say whether it's called a taco or a sandwich. That's the whole... The thing.
Okay, I'm going to say it's a taco. Sandwiches is much more British thing, whereas tacos is like, speedy food. So I'm going to go with the taco.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. Not that anyone cares, because apparently it's a rubbish fact. Whatever, I don't care. Move on.
I just feel like,
You literally said like you feel like you phoned it in.
I do, yeah, because I put time into coming up with Sam's Diner and its location and all that as a completely separate fact.
Your fact info, Prince Albert, doing a wheelie on a penny farthing.
Yeah, which was outstanding factory.
Oh, well, my fact got the down thumbs.
There you go, down thumbs.
Here's a sandwich-related question for you, Hurst. Is there any cold sandwich that can't be improved with the addition of crisps?
Mm.
Neither of us had that on our list, but, you know.
In a word, no.
Yeah, I think that's true. If it's an especially wet sandwich, that might be problematic. But otherwise, yeah, bang them in. Peanut butter and crisp sandwich. Mmm.
Is there any sandwich that can't be improved by bacon?
Oh, jam sandwich, maybe.
I can still work.
I'd eat it. Yeah.
So hang on. I'd like to change all five of mine to whatever I said before, plus bacon and crisps.
All right. Shall we see what we're doing next week, Hurst?
Yeah, probably best.
Some new things on the list, Hurst. Get excited. We've got this one. Do you want to tell the rankers?
That'll be the top five post-apocalypse movies or TV shows.
Now, when that was requested, it was specifically added, not The Matrix. So
okay, fair enough. Top five songs from Dirty Dancing.
Correct.
Top five sitcom wives. Top five really long, 3 hours plus films. And top five adverts, yeah. Very good.
Top five adverts or commercials for our American listeners. I'm going to stop doing that. Americans, work it out. People pretend you're dumb. We know you're not as individuals. If you don't know what something is, hit up the Google.
Yeah. Or write to us and tell us, and we'll make sure that we clarify for you.
Hello at top5faceoff.co.uk. Put a subject line along the lines of, what the fuck are you on about?
All right, let's spin that wheel. I want to know what we're doing next.
Here we go. Whee. All right, it's coming to a stop, Hurst. Hurst, we're watching more movies.
Comedy movies. Right.
80s comedy movies. Now, there's probably only like 10 of them, so this won't take much research. Womp, 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 womp.
Oh.
God, strap in for some work next week, Hurst. We've got some homework to do.
Yeah, I might suggest to Carly we start on that tonight.
All right, this was suggested by Hurst, so we can thank Hurst. Thanks, Hurst, for 80s comedy movies. Thanks again to Piers for choosing sandwiches this week. Hopefully,
yeah, bravo, Piers.
One of us. Well, we know one of us is correct. It'd be interesting to see which one of us he thinks is correct. But we're not going to do that for another week, Hurst.
That's right. So I think all that's left is to thank our official supporters hub.
Currently on the official supporter hub, we have Kovach and Davpaz. Thanks, everybody, / both of you.
Yeah.
Hell, why not, Hurst? Let's do it again. Share Top 5 Face-Off with a link on your socials and make sure we see it. And you can win 3 months
of
official Supporter Hub access.
Yeah, good idea.
There you go. Facebook, Blue Sky, Twitter if you really must. Reddit, that'd be good. Whatever, just make sure that we see it as well. And then you will win. Maybe, you know, you can't all win. Otherwise,
someone
might
will
be a nightmare.
Win.
You can contact us, hello at top5faceoff.co.uk. You can find us on most social media type things as top5faceoff. Hurst, you have paintings on the internet, assuming you know where any of them are. Can I buy them?
I have a loose idea where some of my paintings are, but if you are intrigued by them, they will be at doghouseart.co.uk.
Brilliant. And don't forget, go to top5faceoff.co.uk and vote for which of us is correct and leave us a nice comment and we'll read it out at the beginning, just like we did today. Otherwise, please rewind this podcast for the next person to come along and listen, and we will be back next week with Top 5 80s Comedy Movies.
Nice. That's that then. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week, Rankers. Love you.
Bye, Rankers.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Off. Just one day you're going to say something like, see you slags.
You slags.
Grab your correctly sliced sandwich because it's time for the number one. I still don't know what noise our fanfare actually makes. I sing a different thing every week.
Doesn't matter.
If it sounds like that, either.
No, it doesn't, but I'm making my own fanfare.
That is my number one, and that doth conclude our sandwich list, Hurst. Bloody good list.
Yeah, I'd be happy with all of those things. Where's my thing?
Would you like... No, it doesn't conclude shit, because you haven't had a... Fuck! You
haven't had, I haven't had a fact. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night.
Thanks.
The fish finger toasted sandwich, which Skrill was just able to see. Now, I call it a toasted sandwich. You can just have it as a regular sandwich.
That doesn't make any sense to people that Skrill was just able to see. What the fuck are you on about for people that weren't actually here?
Yeah, I abandoned.
Oh, you abandoned that bit. Okay, start again.
At number three, fish finger toasted sandwich.
What's the worst, Hurst? I wish my name rhymed with things.
It's all right when you're a grown-up.
Squirrel. It rhymes with Wirral. That's it.
But did I tell you about the song they had for me at school? To the tune of Howard's Way?
I have folded my arms and leaned back in my chair, Rankers.
Matthew Hurst will be the first to die of thirst on Christmas Day.
Oh, man, why and then Christmas?
It would carry on ad infinitum. Don't know why Christmas Day. Don't know why I'm going to die of thirst.
Well, because you hadn't drunk enough, mate.
A bit morbid, but I think it was just because it rhymed.
So, I had none of those songs, as you could imagine.
Yeah. Top five face off.